EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all having a great week. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Tonight's guest is Bill from the state of Florida. And Bill has had several very interesting UFO sightings along the famous extraterrestrial highway in Nevada while on a road trip with his family in 2021. Bill up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Nick. Glad to be here.
Thank you for taking the time out and coming on and sharing your experiences with us. And you're calling from Florida today, the Sunshine State.
Yes, and it's sunny until the afternoon thunderstorms hit in a few hours.
Now, Bill, you have some UFO sightings to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
I will. My daughter used to live in Florida. In 2018, they moved out to Utah, southwestern Utah, the city of St. George. And they've been there for 3 years now. Well, I guess they moved to Salt Lake City sometime last year. So they were in St. George for about 3 years. And during this time, they had 3 different sightings. And I was there on their most recent one. And all the sightings were in the vicinity of Area 51, within 100 miles of that location. They live probably about 100 miles away. The first sighting they had, I wasn't there. It was on I-15 in a remote section halfway from Las Vegas to St. George. And they saw at very low altitude right next to the highway, 3 large red glowing disks that almost looked two-dimensional. They were just 100 feet in the air. They were just barely off the highway when they noticed them. And they were moving away from the highway. They were moving very slowly, absolutely without any noise. And my son-in-law, who described the sighting to me, he said it was just inexplicable. No conventional aircraft could have done this. And, you know, I've heard about these triangular aircraft sightings that are very mysterious and can't be conventional technology. And I asked him, is it possible you were looking at the three lights were possibly part of the, one big object because they moved in a unit in a triangular formation. They didn't break that formation. And the whole time you saw them, they were in that tight triangular formation. And he said, yeah, that's possible, but I couldn't tell. It was too dark. And I said, you didn't see any stars blotted out by a larger object enveloping those three glowing red disks by any chance, did you? And he said, no. But he didn't notice. He wasn't looking for that. So, and it was dark. There may have been no starlight that night. Well, that was their first sighting. Their second sighting occurred about a year and 3 weeks ago. My daughter and her family, my two grandkids, they love to do outdoor stuff. They were backpacking in the Sierra Nevada mountains in California. And they were returning from a backpacking trip there. And if you look at Google Maps, the best route is purely by chance along the 98-mile-long extraterrestrial highway, which goes through Rachel, Nevada, just north of Area 51, Groom Lake. Now, they got on that highway, and I guess within about 20, 30 minutes, it's about a 98-mile trip, and there's very little out there. They were traveling in the middle of the night. They didn't see another car. They were the only ones out there. But maybe a third of the way into that trip, a brilliant white light appeared right in front of them. It was blinding. They said it was directly in the road in front of them, possibly elevated a little bit above the road, hard to tell. All they could see is just blackness to the sides and this brilliant white light ahead of them. And the scary thing was that no matter how fast they drove, they couldn't shake this thing. It stayed out in front of them the same distance, apparently moving the same speed, same direction down the road that they were. And it was very hard to see to drive, like driving straight into a sunset. So they were actually terrified, shaking by this sighting. And eventually it just disappeared, maybe half an hour later. So they were pretty shaken up by it when they told me about it. You know, still they were upset by it. So very strange sighting on the extraterrestrial highway they had. Now, 3 weeks later, I flew out to Las Vegas myself. And the purpose of the trip was to visit my daughter, son-in-law, and two grandchildren, and also to go with them on another backpacking trip. Now, it was July 2021, a little over a year ago, and fires were burning, wildfires all over the northwestern United States, in Northern California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and smoke was just covering several states wide of an area downwind from the fires. We had planned to go backpacking in the Sawtooth Mountains or the Wind River Mountains in Wyoming, or alternatively in the Uinta Mountains in northern Utah. But all those areas were smoked in, so we resorted to going back to where they had just been 3 weeks earlier. It was a clear area from smoke in the Sierra Nevada Mountains in the vicinity of Mammoth Lakes, California, which is a ski resort in the winter. So we got up there, camped out a couple of days to get used to the altitude, and then started off a 4,000-foot climb the first day with our backpacks, camped at 10,000 feet the first night, and I saw at that campsite, beautiful campsite, the most incredible sighting I've ever seen of the International Space Station. I mean, it flew right over the top of us. It was a perfectly clear evening, right after sunset. And I mean, it was right over, straight up 90 degrees on top of us. I've never seen a better International Space Station sighting. And it was purely by accident, or maybe it wasn't, I don't know. So we got off the trail 2 days later, and we were delayed by a mishap. We got off, it was a one-way hike, and we took a Caltrans bus back from Tuolumne Meadows Campground. That's in Yosemite National Park. And the bus was late. And it didn't go down the road we thought it did to get to the trailhead where we left our car. So we had to hitchhike the last 10 miles to pick up the car. And that delayed us several hours. So we got out of Mammoth Lakes, California, really late, almost at sunset. We managed to get a shower and change clothes, which is good. If you've been backpacking, you know how much you stink. So we were on the road right at dark, six-hour drive. And we make it to Tonopah, Nevada. It's close to the California border. Tomopa's an interesting little town. So we got pizza there, closed down the pizza joint. They kicked us out in the parking lot to finish our pie. And we got on the road, got a tank of gas. And shortly after that, it was just my daughter driving. I was next to her in the passenger seat. My son-in-law and my two grandchildren were in the back of the road. I mean, the back of the car. In the back seat, they were sleeping, just exhausted from the backpacking trip. And I was a little bit tired and delirious too, but I know what I saw next and it really happened. So I'm not exaggerating here. It wasn't about 20 miles down the extraterrestrial highway that my daughter and I noticed our first sighting. We saw three white lights in a line, equally spaced along a line parallel to the highway, and they were inclined maybe 10, 15 degrees above the direction we thought was horizontal. Now, the weird thing about this road, we didn't see any cars whatsoever on the highway. We saw lots of vehicles way off in the distance off the highway that night. Something was going on, but nothing on the highway. These four bright lights, that's all we could see. Everything else was dark. There was no moon. There was no stars, maybe because of the smoke from the wildfires that blotted out the stars. So everything was black. We look to the side, it's all black. We look to straight ahead, we see 100 yards in front, the headlights, and beyond that, it's all black. We don't see any scenery whatsoever. So these four lights, we had to guess what they were. And we had just one theory we could come up with. They had to be street lights along a road on a ridge that paralleled the main highway. So it was higher up, they were in a line on this road, we theorized. But that really wasn't the case, because we get to the next to the last light, and I think we've traveled about 4 miles to do that. It was taking about a minute to get from light to light, and they seemed to be about the same distance apart that they were distant from the highway. When we get to close to that last of the four lights, suddenly all the lights come to life. They instantly change from a dim white to bright colors. They start flying around in all directions. It's just amazing. So we pull over, do a U-turn so we can see better. It's mostly behind us now, except for the one light off to the side of us. And we're just mesmerized. I get out of the car. My daughter's still a little leery of getting out. She remembers that blinding white light from 2 weeks earlier, or 3 weeks, I'm not sure, but in mid-July, a couple of weeks before. And she stays in the car. I'm outside just astounded by what I'm seeing. And then I notice one light. It descends down to the ground. It moves slightly to the right. It's glowing bright amber. And then suddenly it starts to shoot right at us. I mean, it's coming fast, closing fast. In a few seconds, it looks like it's going to be right on top of us. And this came from a mile away, so it's really hauling butt to get to where we think it's going to be right on top of us in seconds. My daughter screams at me to get back in the car. I jump in the car, but I'm still looking at this light, and I notice that it stops maybe a few hundred yards from the highway. I don't hear any sound. It's just hovering there, and it's brightly lighting up a large area of the desert. I can see a lot of detail in the ground underneath it. I see rocks, boulders, scrubby-looking desert plants. And there's definitely a lot of light there, a lot of power to drive a light that bright and light up that much of an area. So I don't know what this thing is. I jump back in the car. My daughter wheels around in another U-turn, and we go speeding down the highway in the direction we originally wanted to go, which is to the east, to eventually get to I-15 and get back to St. George. So we're speeding away. My daughter's really really alarmed. She's looking in the rearview mirror every few seconds to see if the lights are chasing us, and they don't. And eventually she slows down. And that's when we see the second sighting. We start to see this red light in front of us. It's pretty far off in the distance, very hard to tell because everything's black except this red light and a small area of headlights in front of us. It looks like, you know, we're theorizing again, what is this thing? And the best we can come up with, well, it's got to be a red warning light on top of a radio antenna. So we cruise along, we're seeing it, and it starts to come and go. We maybe see it about a third of the time. It disappears for minutes at a time. It reappears for maybe half a minute, disappears briefly, reappears for half a minute, disappears for several minutes, and it keeps doing that. Eventually, we get close enough, and we notice that it's both moving and it's pulsating. It's pulsating at about a rate of a little more than 1 per second, bright flash, over the steady light, which is already really bright by now. And we notice it's moving from right to left across the road in front of us, but we don't know where the road is. It's so black. It's moving across our present direction of movement. Maybe the road goes there, maybe it doesn't. Hard to tell. And then it disappears, moves back across to the left. And we see that two times. And in the second time, I notice the light is moving in physically impossible ways. It's doing things no physical object should be able to do. The first time I noticed it, it looked like a little kink in its motion from right to left across in front of us. But I looked at it more closely. It was doing that little jerk every few seconds. And then I noticed it's actually instantly moving from one point to another. I looked at it closely. I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. I blinked a lot. I rubbed my eyes. I looked at it again, and yeah, it's jumping. It's physically going from one point to a nearby point instantly as it moves at low altitude right to left in front of us, and then disappears, then comes back again, going from where it disappeared back leftward, rightward, crossing the road again, going left to right, doing the same thing again, moving to the right, and then jumping ahead slightly, and then continuing moving to the right, and then it disappears for several minutes. Now, my daughter doesn't see it. She's got to focus on driving. It's a very difficult drive when you can only see 100 yards ahead of you and a turn might pop into view with very little warning. So she's only catching occasional glimpses of the object. And I haven't convinced her yet that it was jumping. But on the next pass, I think she agrees with me. This object is doing physically impossible kinds of motion. And this time, on this pass across the road and back in front of us, it's different. It moves right to left a few seconds, and then it makes an instantaneous right angle turn and starts moving right at us. It does that for a couple of seconds. It changes instantly back to moving right to left. And for four or five times, I see these instantaneous right angle turns. Now, I don't know how fast this object is moving exactly. It's hard to judge, but I do remember it covered about a 30-degree sector of the sky in front of us. It traversed that sector in about 30 seconds, roughly half a minute. And several times it did this jump, right in the middle. I mean, the right angle turn and the jumps. It was doing that several times as it crossed in front of us. So, from that, I calculated it was moving hundreds of miles an hour, even though it looked like slow motion from the distance we were seeing it, probably 10 or 15 miles when we first noticed it doing these weird maneuvers. And it just was very hard to understand what on earth could be doing this. Bright pulsating ball of red light in the sky, pure red light. Doing these jumps and right angle turns instantly right in front of us. Just astounding, amazing. What kind of physics can explain this? Not the Newtonian physics I studied for my engineering degree. Not at all. It's something very exotic, very new, maybe some kind of quantum mechanics on a macro level. I don't know what it is, but it's not the usual thing you see in the sky. By any means is it usual. Well, I catch another amazing sight a couple of minutes later, after the right angle turn pass in front of us, the instant right angle turns. I look to the right, and I guess something I caught in the corner of my eye makes me do that. And directly to the right, looking out the passenger side window, I see this bright, glowing, pulsating red object slowly descending down to the ground. I can tell that because it's lighting up the ground underneath it. A wide area is in this red glow from this pulsating red ball of light in the air. It looks like it's several miles away, probably, I don't know, 5, 10, very hard to know, could be 20 miles away for all I know. The light's lighting up a lot of the ground under it. It's lighting up what looks like a darker hillside or mountain range behind it. And spread out on the ground underneath where it's landing, I see several red lights. Some are flashing, some are steady. I see a couple of white lights mixed in, and there's a flashing blue light, like a police car. It's on the ground near the edge of where that darker mountain range starts rising up from the flat area where the object's landing. And I see it come all the way down to the ground. It lands right in the middle of all these lights, which I assume are some kind of vehicles. A lot of the lights are. Maybe something different, I'm not sure. But it touches the ground briefly, or it hovers right above the ground. Then it begins to ascend. I see it go up to about a 15-degree inclination above the horizon. And at that point, we drive in front of a closer mountain range that is between us and the object, and it just vanishes. That I see like a black hillside sweep in and just obscure everything, and we're back in that long black tunnel again, where we only see what our headlights light up. Well, right after that, just a couple of minutes, we see the most amazing sighting of the object of the night. It suddenly emerges from behind the mountain, and we know that because it lights up the mountain. It's on the right side of the road. We see it just barely clear the top of this mountain, and it's lighting up all the terrain around us. It's the road ahead we can see for miles in this weird red light. On the left side of the road, there's also a hillside, really rugged hills, or else a mountain range coming up on the left side. But now the object's moving in a different way we haven't noticed before. In the previous two times, we saw this very odd motion, impossible motion. It's moving right to left at a steady speed, and every few seconds, it jumps toward us instantly. It instantly jumps. There's no doubt about it now. It jumps from one point in space to another point in space, which is a wide jump. I would guess it's got to be hundreds of yards at least, and resumes moving right to left for a few seconds. And then it jumps again hundreds of yards toward us. And there it is. It's in a new place, still moving right to left. Now, let me say to put this in scale, I think the object is only a couple thousand feet above the road. I think it's only a mile or two in front of us when it's doing this. And these sudden jumps from one point to another, they could be hundreds of yards. They could even be longer. They're a distance about as far as the object moves in a few seconds. It jumps that much closer to us. And it's a horizontal jump, not right at us, but you know, in our direction horizontally. And it keeps doing this. Every few seconds it jumps. And I'm just blown away. I can't believe what I'm seeing. There's no doubt now this thing is moving in absolutely impossible ways. There's no doubt about it. Well, it goes across the road in front of us. It gets over to the left side of the road. It disappears behind a mountain that is brightly lighting up, and then everything's dark again. We don't see anything but that long black tunnel in front of us. Then shortly later, just a minute or two later, it pops back into view. It comes out from behind that mountain on the left side of the road. It starts moving this time left to right across the road in front of us, and it's high in the sky now. I'd say a 30-degree inclination above the road, which we can clearly see now. And we literally drive right under the thing as it's continuing to move sideways and make these horizontal jumps toward us that are quite long now. They're even longer appearing than they were before. You know, we're almost right under it. And I'm just hypnotized by this thing. I can't take my eyes off of it. It's like I'm in a dream. I can't believe it's happening. I wonder if I'm really awake. It's just so surreal with this red light everywhere lighting up the desert all around us. And I can't take my eyes off of it. My daughter can't see it anymore. She's driving, and it's up above the windshield for her. But I lean forward. I unclick my seatbelt. I kind of twist my body, contort my body, and twist my head to look straight up with my nose right against the windshield to see this thing. And it literally is right on top of us. It's making these jumps in our direction. And it makes one final jump, and I can't see it anymore. It's obscured by the roof of the car, and it's out of sight. So I whirl around. I look backward behind us out the right side of the car, the two right side windows, to try to catch a glimpse. I see it briefly, then I see it again briefly, and then it's gone. I don't see it again. Well, that's the end of the second sighting. The third sighting happens almost immediately while I'm still looking back, trying to see the red pulsating, glowing red ball of light in the air. My daughter calls my attention to another light. This is a bright white light. It's, I'd say, miles in front of us. It's inclined about maybe 10, 15 degrees above the horizon. And the weird thing is it's so bright, it almost hurts to look at it from that distance, you know, several miles away. And it's lighting up this high mountain range behind it. And on that mountain range, we see lights on the side of the mountain, on the side of the mountain. The lights, I don't know what they are. My daughter and I wonder what they are. We think they're probably houses, maybe, you know, mountain houses, second homes out there. The next day, I'm looking on Google Earth, and there's nothing there. There are no buildings on the side of that mountain. So they must have been vehicles driving on the Jeep trails you can see on Google Earth that crisscross across that mountain. And I later found out on Google Earth, this mountain range, it's called the Groom Range. It goes from Rachel, Nevada, about 20 miles to the south, and just literally falls off into Groom Lake. Groom Lake's right at the southern edge of it, this mountain range. The mountain peak we were seeing is named Bald Mountain. And the brilliant white light, which is so bright it hurts to look at it, is right in front of Bald Mountain's peak when we first see it. So it's about the same elevation. That's about 9,000 feet. I find out from Google Terrain Maps, the valley floor is about 5,000 feet. So this brilliant white light is a few miles south of Rachel, I would guess, 4,000 feet above the valley floor, the valley that runs along the mountain range. And it's just lighting up everything. When we get to the crest of a hill that we go over, we suddenly see the whole valley. It's all illuminated by this light. Just, I don't know, maybe 7 miles wide, maybe 15 miles we can see off in the distance. It's all lit up brighter than the full moon by this brilliant white object just stationary in the air above it. And we can also see the lights of Rachel. The first thing you see there is the UFO tourist stop called the Little Alien has a bright road sign. They leave it on all night for some reason. And it's filled with very vivid flashing floodlights and some steady floodlights as well. You can see it. I looked at a map at 7 miles when it first came into view. So we drive along toward Rachel, looking to the right, and I see out in this valley at least 10 headlights and taillights of vehicles roaming around in the valley. I later look at Google Earth, and I see there's a network of dirt roads out there between Rachel and Area 51. So we've got probably about 10 vehicles on the mountainside, about 10 roaming around on the network of dirt roads between Rachel and Groom Lake. So they are on high alert. Something's definitely going on, and I think we just saw it in that pulsating red light in the sky. So we pause at Rachel, kind of gawk at the little alien, wish it was open. It's got a giant alien head sculpture on one side, a UFO on the other side, a sculpture of, not a real one. And I want to come back and check that place out when it's open, but at 2 a.m., it's not open. So nothing's going on in Rachel. It's a sleepy little town, three streetlights, maybe a handful of houses. I think the population's 50 people, and they're all asleep. We don't see a soul. Nothing's stirring. So we take on off down the last 30 miles of the extraterrestrial highway, and there's nothing to see. Everything goes black again. We kind of curve behind the Groom Range, behind Bald Mountain, and everything's dark, that endless black tunnel effect again. But right as we near the end of the extraterrestrial highway, we see a yellow crescent moon rise in the east. And finally, we can see a little bit of landscape again, and driving's not nearly as difficult. So everything's uneventful from that point on. We get back to I-15, and coincidentally, it's real close to where my son-in-law and his family saw the three glowing red disks 3 years earlier.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
So I've got to think that maybe all these sightings are connected. I've got some theories on how they're connected. I also spent hours the next day making notes of what I saw. I also just started poring over maps, including Google Earth, Google, you know, roadmaps, Nevada roadmaps from other sources, Google Terrain, which is topographic maps. And I think I figured out exactly where we were. Oh, I also filed three MUFON reports for the three sightings. And I think when we saw the glowing, pulsating red light land, I think I know exactly where I was on the extraterrestrial highway. And I think I've pinpointed the landing site pretty precisely, too. I found a spot that fits everything that I had in my notes, and there's only one spot. It's pretty unique. And I kind of want to go back there and try to get some video. I sure wish I had some, but my phone was buried in my backpack under four other backpacks and no chance to dig it out. And my daughter was so terrified, she didn't want to stop. I couldn't have convinced her to stop anywhere to get some videos. So I guess it's a very unusual sighting. And it's the landing site is actually not on Groom Lake. Not, in fact, it's not even close to it. I think it's 40 miles away, off to the northwest, roughly. And the Tinopa test site may actually be the area where this landing and launching of this object occurred. But there's nothing on Google Earth anywhere near there except a small landing strip with a few small buildings around it. It's really out in the middle of nowhere. So it's the Nellis Air Force Test Range Complex. It's huge. It's got a lot of different sites: Groom Lake, Tinopa Test Range, Yucca Mountain Nuclear Storage, Creech Air Force Base, Armagosa Valley National Security Site, where all the A-bomb tests were. You can still see the craters on Google Earth from back in the 50s, maybe the 60s. I don't know how long those went on. But there's strange stuff going on out there still. I guess everyone's heard Bob Lazar's story about working as a government physicist at Area 51 and having access to 9 different extraterrestrial vehicles our government somehow came into possession of, and reverse engineering them, trying to figure out what makes them tick. I was skeptical about those stories, but now I think I'm a 100% solid believer, because seeing is believing. And I think I was seeing some test flights of some of these vehicles, or maybe we've learned how to make our own. I don't know, but it's not anything that's physically possible. What I saw, it totally defies standard Newtonian physics. It's something else. It's weird. It's strange, but it's out there. And I just want to go back and see more of it. I don't know exactly how to do that, but I'm never going to forget it. It was just an exceptional experience and unforgettable. The state of mind I was in, I think a Fleetwood Mac song from back in the 70s describes it. It starts out, it's the same kind of story that comes down from long ago. two friends having coffee when something flies by their window. Then the chorus comes on. Seems like a dream got me hypnotized. And that repeats over and over throughout the song. And the mood of that song and my mood watching this thing do impossible movements in the sky. Exactly how I felt. Seems like a dream got me hypnotized. So that's the story. I really hope I see something like this again. I hope Men in Black don't come to visit me and somehow figure out who I am. Weird things are going on in Area 51 still. And that's my story.
That's wonderful, Bill. What an exciting trip.
Yes, it was.
And I love that you're on the extraterrestrial highway. You're in this area, which is a hotbed and is known for many years for its activity. And you are still rationalizing it. That's your engineering background coming into play.
Yeah, I'm a nuts and bolts guy.
You know, these objects, it was like they knew you were watching them and they could see you. And to a degree, they were probably showing off.
Possibly. Yeah, I kind of got that feeling. I had the feeling that if we stopped on the road and set up tripods, you know, somebody was going to come and I don't know. I think the government security was there and on high alert that night. I don't know what these objects were. I don't know if they're the actual alien craft that we've been able to learn how to fly or if it's something we've copied. I don't know if it's actual aliens like Bob Lazar at one point said were there. Who knows what it is? I don't know if there's a technology exchange going on. Some people have said that, but I was in a weird, almost dream state. The whole thing was surreal.
And it wasn't like you had to, you know, go on the government land and go through and climb the mountain ranges to get onto the government property. You know, this wasn't happening at Groom Lake or Papoose Lake. This was happening way out in the open.
Yes, it was. But it was only visible, this landing site, at one point along the extraterrestrial highway. But anyone driving along at 2 a.m. in the morning would have seen it because it flew right over the highway at low altitude and it was doing these crazy, impossible things in the sky, moving in impossible ways. So, yeah, anybody could have seen it. There were no other cars on the highway that night, just us. This road really isn't on the way from anywhere to anywhere. You have to struggle to find two places in Google Maps that will route you through this road. So you almost have to deliberately go on it and go in the middle of the night, I guess, if you want to see this stuff.
And of course, if you talk to the locals from Tonopah and Rachel and probably as far as Crystal Springs, you know, they'd all tell you the same thing. Yet these things are in the sky nightly, weekly, daily.
Yeah, I don't know how often. I do want to go back and talk to people in the area that live in the area and see what they've seen. You know, I'm really the MUFON field investigator. You know, he just wanted video, and I didn't have any. And I told him what I saw, and I guess he was used to reports like that. But it's still happening there. People say there's an Area 52, and everything shifted to that new test area. But stuff's still going on in Area 51 in vicinity. For sure.
It's still going on. Do you remember what day of the week it was?
You could look it up on the calendar. It was definitely the night of August 3rd, right before midnight, and early August 4th in the wee hours, 2021. Don't remember. I'm thinking maybe it was a Monday, but I'm not sure.
Because I know they used to designate certain days to do test flights.
Really?
Okay, so the 3rd was a Tuesday.
Okay, that makes sense.
If they're just doing weekly runs or monthly runs, at least you know what kind of day. And I do have I do have listeners in that whole area, so you know, maybe they send us an email and tell us, you know, what activity on what days. So next time when Bill does go, he can probably go at the right time. Don't want to go too early.
Yeah, I'd love to, but you'd probably have to hang out and be very, very patient for a long time to see something, I would imagine. I don't think they have daily tests, but maybe they do. I don't know. I have no idea.
Exactly. But yeah, I would definitely give the little alien a call and you'll probably get a bit of advice off them, to be honest with you, because I know they're all very friendly around there.
Yeah, I want to go talk to people there. Definitely want to go back.
And next time you go, Bill, make sure you take a load of pictures, not necessarily of any objects, but, you know, just your trip. It's always nice, nice hearing about people and their trips in the area. It's an area which I've never gone to. And I probably would have gone already if it wasn't for the whole last couple of years. But I will definitely go. And you say that the previous sighting your daughter and your son-in-law had and the sighting you had, you believe they were possibly connected?
I think so. My daughter said the white light we saw in front of Bald Mountain, that it was the same type of brilliant white light that terrorized them for half an hour right in front of their car and moved with them as they drove through the desert. I think it may have been trying to distract them from something more important they didn't want them to see, or get them to turn around and go back. And I think that's what our first sighting may have been. You know, I can't rule out that it was drones. It could have been drones, but they were, you know, very high performance, electric drones, silent, able to carry quite a lot of equipment, batteries and lighting to light up the ground the way they did, and the sky, you know, very, very brilliant light. I don't think that's possible with an ordinary drone you can buy at a store. But that could have been drones intended to scare us, or maybe lure us there to keep performing for us until this test flight had ended. I don't know, but that's my theory. And the brilliant white light, you know, I can't rule out there's some hugely bright light source that the military has, maybe to light up a whole battlefield at night. And it's could have been tethered to a balloon. We didn't see any balloons, but I don't know what that was. It could have been something really exotic, no telling. But the red pulsating light, it definitely was something out of this world, extraordinary, you don't see, that most people never see, I would say. The way it moved, popping instantly from one point to a point, possibly a quarter mile distant, making those right angle turns, very instantaneous, sharp turns, going hundreds of miles an hour. That's the main attraction for what we saw, and it's just incredible. I still can't believe I actually saw that.
And also, with your engineering background, you've never experienced or know of anything that could move like that.
Oh no, certainly not. What can jump from one point instantly to another point? I can't think of anything that can. You know, what can, you know, a lot of the UFO sightings report right angle turns. And that's defying physics. If you're going hundreds of miles an hour and you do an instant right angle turn, that's going to just totally destroy the object, anything inside it. You know, unless there's some kind of weird space-time, extra-dimensional distortion that keeps the, you know, all the G-forces from actually exerting themselves. You know, supposedly Bob Lazar said these objects propel themselves forward by creating a gravitational field right in front of them that pulls them in whatever direction they want to go. And that's possibly warping space and time and maybe getting into dimensions we can't perceive. And just everything's so warped that you can do these weird maneuvers, even pop from one place to another and not, you know, completely destroy the whatever's inside the craft or the craft itself. Something strange. I mean, it's a whole new kind of physics we would need to explain this. It's just, you know, I'm just not familiar with anything that explains it.
That's exactly, you know, when you hear Bob's stories, you know, you're like, well, you know, there's always a possibility. And then when you experience it yourself, that's a whole different ball game. And, you know, if we had this technology just, 40 odd years ago, imagine more forward we are, more along the road we are with this technology.
Yeah, I think we're definitely learning how to control it, maybe not duplicate it yet. Bob Lazar said it was so advanced, he had no idea how to duplicate it. You know, that element he mentioned, element atomic number 115, whatever isotope he said it was stable. We don't have a stable 115 yet. You know, we've made 115, but only for a millisecond, and it quickly fissions into something else, I guess. So we don't know how to make 115. We don't know how to make an antimatter reactor that he claimed, I believe, was powering these vehicles. We don't know how to make the gravity field inducer that, you know, focuses on the direction you want to go and it pulls you forward in that direction. Or maybe we do. Maybe we've come so far we can create that technology ourselves. But I think it's more likely we've captured some alien technology and we're learning how to fly the stuff and operate it.
Now, before you had your experiences, Bill, what was your chain of thought with the whole subject? Was it something that you were interested in, or?
Well, very much. I read Stanton Friedman's book on Roswell. I read Randall's book on Roswell. I read a number of books by Timothy Good, Whitney Strieber. You know, I was a UFO nut, still kind of agnostic about the whole thing. You know, I thought it might just be a new genre of sci-fi. Yeah, I was always skeptical, but still fascinated by it and the possibility. So yeah, I was a UFO guy. I actually went looking on the ET highway back in the mid 90s after I heard Bob Lazar. Drove down it in the middle of the night, didn't see a thing. So yeah, I've been out there looking. I always keep my eye on the sky.
Keep your eyes on the skies. Perfect. That's fascinating, Bill. Exciting. An exciting experience that was for you.
Yes, it was. Unforgettable.
And when do you plan on heading back?
Well, my daughter and her family, I think, are going to settle back in St. George. They seem to move every couple of years. They're kind of nomads. They both have jobs where they can do that. I think they're going to relocate to St. George, so we'll be close. When they're back there and we go out to visit, I think we may take a little detour.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's wonderful, Bill. Wow, that's fascinating stuff.
Yeah, get it off your chest.
Yeah, exactly. It does help people, you know.
It's good to have someone who is willing to listen and doesn't dismiss you as a total nutcase. And, you know, say, hey, get out of here. I don't believe that crap. I've told the story to a few people like that. I had a 50th high school reunion. I'm retired. And I told the story to a number of people, my old friends, and almost all of them just said, yeah, right. You know, when's your next psychiatry appointment?
And how easy is them for them to say that, you know, they haven't had it.
Yeah. They haven't seen it.
They haven't seen it. I'm sure if you take them out on a road trip and they do see it, then you can go, hey.
What do you think now?
What time's our appointment? And it's the same. You know, I mean, I have a lot of listeners on this show, which they are like-minded. You know, they've had experiences or they've had family members which have had experiences. But also, I have a percentage of people on here which have had no experiences. And scientists, I've had emails from scientists saying I've had no interest in the subject whatsoever. I just came across your show by mistake. You know, wasn't interested in the subject. I listened to it and I thought, well, maybe there is something there. You know, maybe there is something worth exploring scientifically.
Yeah, I'd say the majority of the people on your show are very credible. They are obviously describing what they actually saw. They're authentic. And that's what makes it good. You know, some people are not that articulate, but they come through as real people telling real stories about things that really happened to them. You know, I was wondering if you would even put me on because of the abduction stories, the missing time stories. You know, I believe all that stuff, but I didn't have anything like that happen to me.
Did you check your watch?
Yeah, we were right on time.
Believe it or not, I've had guests on here which have had just a basic experience, you know, they've had just a basic sighting. And then they say to me, well, it did take me an awful long time to get to my destination. And then they end up exploring it, okay, exploring it deeply and finding out, you know, things did happen. I think sometimes you can be just happy with what you saw.
Yeah.
Especially if you go down the whole abduction road, it can be quite traumatic and difficult, as you know, probably imagined.
As I've heard people describe, just sheer terror. At times.
Sheer terror, yeah.
No, I want to know what kind of physics can explain what I saw. Or is it completely like magic or, you know, paranormal stuff? I don't know what the heck it is. You know, what can disappear and reappear instantly somewhere else?
the science that we don't understand yet, but science is something which is constantly evolving, something which can always be questioned and eventually be tested. So I just think we're just not at that stage yet, but that science, you know, it can always, it opens up, so it's never ending, you know, so anything is really
right.
Possible.
Yeah, it could be that we're operating these things and we have no idea how they work and we're able to make them fly. and do these astounding tricks, but we don't understand the science behind how they do it. It might still be a mystery to our best scientists.
And plus, we don't have the materials to house, you know, whatever energy there is.
It's got to be a heck of a lot of energy, whatever it is.
Exactly, yeah. And hopefully it's nice and clean and completely reusable.
Yeah, but some people have reported radiation burns and such. I don't know if that's, you know, actually been verified or not.
Yeah, there has been several cases. I've had a few guests on here which have reported things like that. Suntans on half their faces, that kind of thing. When they've got a little bit too close to these objects. You're probably lucky that you didn't get out. Your daughter didn't let you get out of the car.
Well, I actually was out. I didn't make that clear enough, I guess. I didn't get out during the brilliant pulsating red object, but the possible drones distracting us, or maybe they were, you know, some kind of strange alien vehicle also. But I did get out on that first sighting of the night. Got outside the car.
Right. It was your daughter that didn't, wasn't it? And your son-in-law was asleep.
Well, he woke up. We woke him up when we were doing the U-turns and, you know, burning rubber to get out of there. We were scared. Yeah, he woke up and he saw it and he said, I can't rule out drones. So he wasn't really impressed by that one. And he missed the good one where the objects disappeared and reappeared instantly somewhere else.
Yeah, he probably would have ruled out drones in that case.
Yeah. And what he saw, the three glowing discs over I-15, he said he can't explain that, that it's something so foreign, so exotic, extraordinary, he has no idea what it was or how it operated. Totally silent, a big triangular array of fairly good-sized red discs just kind of floating, not making a sound. And he was just awestruck. He couldn't figure it out. He knew it was something, you know, just literally out of this world almost. But I think that was probably military too. You've heard of the TR-3B, of course.
I'm sure, yeah.
I think it could have been one of those.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, you never know. You want to get yourself back out there and next take a camera. Keep MUFON happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, when you have a sighting, the last thing you think of doing a lot of the time is getting a camera. Or if you do get a camera, get your phone out, you don't think about stabilizing it. It's just, you're just quick. You're overwhelmed by what you're seeing. And I hear it time and time again. And then when I do get people send me images in and pictures, it's basically just a light. And it's never going to be, you're not going to view it the same way as through someone else's eyes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I saw YouTube. This one guy set up a tripod in his backyard in northern Las Vegas, aimed at Area 51 and just let it run all night, you know, kind of recorded 24 hours at a time or all night at a time and looked at it, you know, then copied over the same part of his computer files the next night. And he saw a red light like mine, you know, from a much greater distance, like 70, 80 miles, you know, right over Area 51. That's the only one I could find on YouTube. And it was kind of vibrating, like it was jumping back and forth between two points. Almost, it could have been a tripod vibration, maybe the wind. I don't know. I couldn't see any foreground objects, whether they were moving or not. It was, you know, all dark except the red light, kind of like what we saw.
What you need is those at Rachel. They need to put up like a webcam. You know, you get a lot of those Earth cams these days. So when you're in the area, say to them, maybe put up a cam and have it focused on that area, because that will get a million hits a day.
Oh, I bet it would.
Yeah.
Well, that's a moneymaker too.
I know Earth cams, what they would do is, if you live in a particular area, say if you have like a beach resort or something, they will send you a camera. So you can then have it playing on their website and then have it set up to YouTube and stuff. But they would literally send you a camera so you can hook it up for them. And you just use it, has it going on your internet. That's it. So it's always worth doing.
Yeah. I'll suggest that to them. It'd be good for their business too.
It would be. Yeah. Especially if they have it on YouTube. It'd be getting hits every single day. People want to see strange lights. But obviously make sure it's pointing in the right direction.
Yeah. And who knows what that is? That Nellis Test Range complex. It's thousands of square miles. It's gigantic. It could be anywhere out there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Google Terrain is invaluable. because it helped me pinpoint exactly the one place, unique place, where you can see as far as I thought the object was away when it was landing. You know, you can actually visualize the gap in the mountain range that runs parallel to the road on the west side of it. And I could see the mountain behind it on Google Terrain, you know, rising up several thousand feet, you know, above where the landing was. So I've got it pinpointed within probably, I would guess, a mile, maybe 2 miles at the most. I think I know exactly where it happened. And I think I know exactly where I was when I saw it.
Bill, I really appreciate you for coming on and sharing your experiences in the desert with us today.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed sharing them.
And you are more than welcome. Okay, Bill. Keep in contact.
Okay.
It's been wonderful speaking to you today, Bill.
Yeah, same here.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Okay, bye.
That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Bill for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.